question. So if the Bhagavad Gita has central message, essential message is bhakti, then why is it given in the center instead of at the end? I have heard a sandwich metaphor to explain it, but then usually a book's most important message comes at the end. Answer: yes, the Bhagavad Gita does talk about bhakti at its end also. It's very clear at the end. Sarva dharmaan parityajya maam ekam sharanam raja. Give up everything else and just surrender to me. Manmanabhav mad bhakto. So 18.65 and 66 are very clearly bhakti verses. So the Bhagavad Gita does talk about bhakti at the end, no doubt. Now along with that, when we understand the Bhagavad Gita's message, it has its own flow. So sometimes it is said that the first six chapters are talk about karma, the second six chapters talk about bhakti, and the third six chapters talk about jnana, the last six chapters. But it's not like that exactly. The first six chapters talk about of karma more in terms of how karma culminates in bhakti. Second set of six chapters focus on bhakti, and the last set of six chapters talk about how jnana culminates in bhakti. So in that sense, the thread of bhakti permeates the whole of the Bhagavad Gita, and it is most clearly manifested towards the end of each section. So for example, fifth chapter ends with Bhoktaram Yagitapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Surudam Sarvabhutanam Yatvamam Shanti Nuchyati. So the yajnas, which are a part of Karma Kanda, Krishna says that they end in the practice of bhakti, to understand Krishna as our greatest well-wisher. Now another way that Karma Yoga can a Karma Yogi may renounce the world and take up Dhyan Yoga or Ashtang Yoga. And Krishna talks about how Ashtang Yoga also ends in bhakti in 6.47. Yoginam Sarvesham Madgatena Antaratmana Shraddhavan Bhajate Yomam Same Yukta Tamo Mata. Then chapter 6 to 12 talk about bhakti specifically. They focus on bhakti, and it culminates in 12.13 to 20, where Yomad Bhakta Same Priyaha. It talks about the qualities of devotees. And from chapter 13 onwards, Krishna talks about the process of jnana. Arjuna asks questions about terms which are associated with Sankhya: Prakriti, Purusha, Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Jnana, Jnaya. And Krishna answers those questions, and does he lead the thought onwards from the 13th chapter to the 18th chapter, where the 18th chapter also culminate showing how the summit of jnana practice is to attain bhakti. Brahma Bhut Prasannatma Na Chochit Na Kaankshati Samah Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. 18.454. So one is Brahman realized, Prasannatma, that person attains my bhakti, para bhakti, pure devotion. So thus the Bhagavad Gita, throughout its flow, points towards the conclusion of bhakti. At the same time, the Bhagavad Gita is not exclusive. Exclusive means it doesn't reject other paths. It tells that the other paths also have their utility. So for example, it says that sannyasa karma yogascha nishreyasa karao bhav. Sannyasa and karma yoga, giving up activity and doing activity, both of them nishreyasa, both can lead towards liberation, both are auspicious. But tayostu karma sannyasat karma yoga vishishyate. Krishna says, but among them the karma yoga is better. Means basically action with renounce mood rather than renunciation of action, that is better. So the Bhagavad Gita recognizes that other paths different from bhakti, also have a important place in the path of spiritual growth for people. And as we keep practicing those paths, we all evolve. But for those who want to evolve faster, or in the fastest way for them, bhakti yoga is recommended. Tasyaham sulabha partha ityukta si yoginaha. In 8.14, Krishna says, It is the only place where Krishna says that he can be easily attained, and he can be sulabha, and he can be attained through the practice of bhakti. So this bhakti is the recommended way in the Bhagavad Gita throughout. Thank you.